Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today, an all pundit show with a great lineup. Josh Hicks, Cheryl Blomstrom, and Mike Hillaby here for the whole show on an all new Nevada Newsmakers.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you, but we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Hello, is this D&D Roofing?
Yes, it is. How may I help you?
You did such a great job on my roof. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner.
Oh, can I speak to your supervisor?
Sure.
How may I help you?
I love your work. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner. We're all owners. Well, that's why at D&D we work so hard to keep your home safe and sound.
Oh, no wonder.
D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal. Local, employee-owned, here for you.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room at the Bank Saloon. Coverage of the 2021 Nevada legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Ahern Rentals is ready for your next project. Liberty Dental Plan, making members shine one smile at a time. And Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from the Bank Saloon in Carson City, we have a great pundit panel here today. So pleased to have you all here. Josh Hicks is a partner with McDonald Carano. He was also chief of staff to Governor Givens. Cheryl Blomstrom is the political consultant and financial genius. Mike Hillaby, director of legislative affairs for Kenfer Kroll, and he was chief of staff to Governor Gwynn. Pleasure to have you all here.
Good morning.
So let's start out, Josh, with something that happened last night. The Nevada Public Option passed out of the Senate Health and Human Services Committee last night. I spoke to Senator Ratty about this and referred to it as Medicare for All, and she said, well, no, it's not Medicare for All. Your thoughts on this and where it's going?
Well, it's not unusual in any session to see some big ideas coming out at the end of the session, especially ideas that have a lot of politics behind them. I think this is one. We've seen some other ones as well. We still have others to come, maybe an energy bill. They're typical trading pieces. There's a lot of questions about how this is going to work, how it's going to operate. Is it going to be similar to states like Washington, where we've seen it not necessarily do too much? Or are we going to do it differently here? It's a huge, huge issue to deal with at the very end of the session. But it also gives the Senate a lot of leverage once they put that over into the Assembly side, and the Assembly will be looking at it and thinking about what kind of things they want to see. So not unusual. Every session has something big like this.
Cheryl, there's been tremendous pushback on it, though.
Absolutely. Partly because it really rewrites the way we do medical care and access to medical care across a wide spectrum of things. If you are a provider of health care and you offer workers' compensation, or you serve the public employees' benefits system, or you do Medicaid, you are required to participate, to submit a good faith bid into this program. So it really changes the way things work.
And with two-thirds of the population they're seeking to cover already eligible for either Medicaid for free or the Silver State Health Insurance Exchange that heavily subsidized it, free to $10 a month insurance, those people still aren't signing up for those programs. So the idea that we could take a plan that looks like the gold or silver plan from the exchange, rebrand it a public option and offer it to the same people, I don't know how you get them to sign up. We need to put more effort into attracting the two of those three groups. The other is an immigrant population, and there are some federal issues and waiting periods. But let's expand presumptive eligibility, make that easier, make it more widespread, find out ways to get more people in the programs we already have before you set up one that looks like it, but to Cheryl's point, pays providers less than the cost of providing the care.
Well, and that was going to be, you know, my next point, right, really, which is that we're already in trouble as far as the number of doctors that we have. We have so few in every field, right, by comparison with the size of the population. Even though the medical school is now graduating people at both ends of the state, it's still not even close. Are we going to be chasing doctors away by these low reimbursement rates?
I would submit yes. As you know, I've been dealing with an orthopedic issue. And I, last time I saw my orthopedist, I asked him about, because I am now on Medicare, and I asked him about reimbursements just because we were making conversation as he's manipulating my hip, and it was talk to him or scream. So I talked to him, and his reimbursements are terrible. They either just barely cover his cost or they don't cover his cost. And the longer he spends with me in an exam, the less his cost is covered.
A fascinating issue to be discussed, and as you say, Josh, the leverage there. All right, now let's turn to the money. Almost $3 billion coming to the state of Nevada from the federal government. Your thoughts on this and how it should be spent in a way that makes sense?
Well, first of all, it's a tremendous boon to the state. It's a good spot for the state to be in, quite a bit different than the last time we had a big budget hole in a recession when I was working with Governor Gibbons. I sure wish we would have had something like that. It would have been good, but that wasn't just the timing. So it's good that it's there. The big question is, how do we spend it and do it wisely? There's already some interesting pieces in the guidance. For example, you can't use it for rainy day funds. That's one of the things we've emptied out, and it would be nice to refill that. That doesn't look like it's going to be an option. So the state's going to be looking at these things. I'm sure there'll be a lot of backfilling on the UI piece of it. Infrastructure projects, to me, using it on one-shot kind of projects is going to be the smart thing to do. I don't think you want to necessarily commit it to recurring expenses, or you're going to have some real problems down the road when those budgets come due again.
One of the things about state government is, and we've seen this with education over the years, is you assign a certain amount of money, for example, to education, and then there's another pot of money that shows up that is then marked, earmarked towards education, but the original money then disappears and goes to something else. Do you see something like that happening where you could take money from one thing and move it into the rainy day fund, for example?
Almost certainly. I think that there's got to be ways to try. And to Josh's point, everybody's trying to get through those numbers. We know with all but complete certainty we will have a special session sometime later this summer solely focused on spending that money. Could you, for example, take the money? We're going to have over $300 million more than anticipated. The year ends the year ending June 30th. Is some of that eligible before you get the federal money? Working through those details, how do you put stuff back in the rainy day fund? To your point, supplanting, as they call it, moving things from one, hey, we have a little more money over here, we can rob from that to put it somewhere else that's a little bit short. I think there'll be a lot of that going on. And to Josh's point, the idea of investing this on infrastructure, one-shot expenditures that really change things, and the governor has said that, is critical. But the temptation, they'll get a lot of pressure from teachers and others that say we want that in raises, want that in health reimbursement rates, go down the list of things where we are not doing enough, and there'll be loud cries for that. But for those people to be educated, for legislators to have the discipline to say you can't put that into ongoing expenses, because what do you do later on? Unless, of course, your goal is to force a tax battle in 2023, then maybe you do that.
Both Chairman Yeager was on the program, and State Senator Ratty were on the program talking about the need to have somewhat of a listening tour to go out and talk to the public about what they think should be done with this money. And it always strikes me that we elect people to make those decisions. Why are they coming back to us to ask those questions? What are your thoughts about a listening tour? Because I'm sure the public has lots of things they'd like the money spent on.
I think a listening tour is actually a good idea. I think that it gives the opportunity to the legislators to acquire some public buy-in to the ideas that they have. If they go out there just willy-nilly with no agenda, they're not necessarily going to get what they think they're going to get. But if they go out there with some, these are the five program areas that we think are really important, and they test those out in the water. I think that that gives them some cover for some of what they're doing, and I think they need that sometimes.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with this great panel after this timeout.
Located in the heart of Carson City, the Bank Saloon, a historic watering hole with a modern feel. With a variety of classic cocktails featuring Nevada spirits, space for private events, conferences, and an incredible atmosphere. The Bank Saloon offers a great location to work and play. Come visit us. Located at the corner of 5th and Carson, we'll save you a drink.
Hey guys, are you watching the game at a friend's or the bar again because you can't watch at home with your wife? Or worse, because she kicked you out and kept your couch, your flat screen, and your kids? What's the one thing a man needs when he loses a good woman? A good lawyer. And when he loses a bad woman, he needs a great lawyer. What makes a good woman a bad woman? You tell me. You're the one that can't watch the game in your own home. I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I represent men in divorce, custody, and family law matters.
Because of UMC, there's a wide open road ahead of me.
Because of UMC, she can grow up with her twin sister.
Because of UMC, I'm here to help you.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue on with this All Pundit Show with this great lineup. Cheryl Blomstrom is here, Josh Hicks, and Mike Hillaby. Cheryl, let's start out with you here. We've got a thing going on at the Supreme Court here where they have to make a decision here in the very near future on whether that two-thirds was needed to carry on those taxes from the last session. State Senator Settlemyer was on the program and said that it would only be about $900 million if it was to be ruled in favor of the Republicans. What are your thoughts on where the Supreme Court's going to come down?
Reading the tea leaves, first of all, I am not an attorney. I only play one occasionally. But I watched that hearing, or listened to it, and I thought the questioning was very pointed, and I thought Senator Settlemyer's case received a boost, in my opinion, from that hearing. I question whether they're going to get attorney's fees. I think maybe not. I don't think there was a lot of support on the court for that. There is, when you sue an entity like a state or the legislature, you basically have to provide evidence of malign intent. And I don't think that there was anything malign about it, but I don't think they're going to get attorney's fees. I'd be surprised if they do. But I think they're going to hold for the senator's case.
Mike, you agree?
I think they may. I'm not one to gamble on Supreme Court opinions. I've been surprised by them before, like in 2003.
Right.
But they may. I think it's an interesting case. The way that bill was handled at the end of last session, the two-thirds stamp coming on and off and on and off. I think all of that, the optics are not great. So I would kind of lean toward agreeing with Cheryl.
The positive irony of this is that with all this money coming in and with the whole economy of the state moving forward rapidly, that $900 million wouldn't be that big of a deal, correct?
That's absolutely right. It takes some of the politics, I think, out of the decision of the impact of it. There's money there to figure out how to fill that hole. So it doesn't necessarily cause a huge problem. We saw that before with some last-minute Supreme Court decisions under the Sandoval administration when they were sweeping funds and they had to rush to backfill those in other ways. So I think there's certainly ways to hold some money back and lessen the impact of this, but I agree with Mike and Cheryl. Watching that hearing, I think with the way the questions went, it seemed like the court was leaning towards finding that a two-thirds vote was required on that bill. And that will have some big ramifications, not just on that, but if you remember the legislative opinion that went with that, talked about removing exemptions as well. So it has some impacts on that too, on those kind of two-thirds votes as well.
I think it's really important, if they do find that it upholds the will of the people in the constitutional provision that the people put into the Constitution requiring the two-thirds. It wasn't willy-nilly. It was, we want this, and we want it by overwhelming numbers when the votes came in.
And I'll just add one thing. When you said that, it reminded me of one thing. You know, one of the arguments in that case was that this was initially a bill at the legislature brought by Jim Gibbons, who was my old boss. And one of the arguments was that some of his comments suggested that it was to be read very narrowly. And I found that a little bit amusing because, knowing my old boss, he certainly was not looking to narrowly construe the two-thirds rule. It was quite
absolutely,
the opposite.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes, that was a major plank of his election campaign.
It was.
All right, let's take another break. We'll come right back with this great panel after this timeout.
Tamarack Casino is giving away two Mercedes-Benz during the $125,000 Benz or Cash Giveaways. Plus, players get 5x points on video reels every Friday. Win two Mercedes-Benz now through May at Tamarack Casino.
The Do It Right guys at Nevada Heating have one mission. Your air conditioner breaks down today, we fix it today. Why sweat for days while your air is down when Nevada Heating can get the job done today and you can get cool again? For nearly 50 years, locally owned Nevada Heating has been getting the job done right. Call today at 323-5585 or see us online at nevadaheating.com.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Tamarack Casino is giving away two Mercedes-Benz during the $125,000 Benz or Cash Giveaways. Plus, players get 5x points on video reels every Friday. Win two Mercedes-Benz now through May at Tamarack Casino.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City. We have a great pundit panel here today with Cheryl Blomstrom, Josh Hicks, and Mike Hillaby. Josh, have you been surprised at the Biden administration's definition of infrastructure in terms of this new plan?
I don't know if I've really been too surprised. I mean, I think they're going to try to make that broad, make it usable for as many things as you can. So I don't know if I can really say it's surprising. That's clearly been an issue around the state, infrastructure repairs in all kinds of different ways. Drinking water's in there. That's one of the things they... We've seen some really big public issues with that. So doesn't necessarily tie into the epidemic, but it does provide an opportunity to fix some of those kind of things.
Well, you know, you bring up drinking water, and that makes me think of what's going on the East Coast right now with that pipeline that got shut down because of a cyber attack. And, you know, nobody ever wants to talk about critical infrastructure in the state of Nevada, like power and water, and what the potential problems could be from a cyber attack. We've had people on the program talking about how we protect the front door, but not the back door when it comes to cybersecurity. Do you have concerns?
I think so. I mean, I know from time and being in the government that things were not always as secure as you might imagine them to be as a member of the public. And it's not neglect, it's just a lack of resources to do something like that and a lack of expertise. So it is something that I think that would be very wise to look at, because, you know, something like that could really cripple our state.
I think you'll almost certainly see the federal government pull pipelines and other infrastructure in to the requirements to harden their cybersecurity the way public utilities do, that are already required under federal law. I can't imagine after seeing what we've seen the last few days that the federal government won't do that. And to your point on infrastructure, I think it's good. We're talking about broadband and other things. It's interesting to hear a lot of Democrats talking about childcare, other things. How are those any less important as quote unquote infrastructure to help someone get to their job as a road or a bridge or high-speed internet? That's going to be at the core of an interesting debate about what's the role of government, particularly the federal government. Is that the role they should be in, doing those kinds of things?
And right. So this comes down to, are we in a Lyndon Johnson phase of American government where we're a change on the magnitude of the Great Society?
Lyndon Johnson or FDR? I think that this administration has visions of going there. They're being pulled to their own left in ways large and small, and I'm not sure, not my cup of tea, obviously. We've had lots of conversations about the size of government. I don't know that this expansion of government at the end of the day is good for this country. I don't think making people dependent, and I think there will be some dependency out of what I'm seeing coming out of Washington, making people dependent is not the way to help our economy grow. It's not the way to grow families. It's not the way to grow society. It's not the way to strengthen the base of who we are.
And I think the Republican Party really has to come to grips with what is the message and why are so many people, particularly younger people, seeing government as the answer. And if you're going to come up with a better argument about why it isn't, why thrift and industry and those kind of traditional core pieces of the Republican Party of years ago, not currently, why those things matter, you need a different messenger and you need a better message, or you lose the war of ideas. And I think it's foolish for either party, frankly, to forget why are people that frustrated with what they've seen going on with the disparity in wealth. You're going to have to address that in this country, or people are going to take it upon themselves.
Absolutely.
Josh, you want to jump in on that?
Well, I think that's accurate. You can, when you look at the last 10 or 15 years, we've had a huge recession, we've had the coronavirus epidemic. Government's been a huge part of the recovery of those kind of things, and I think that lends itself to why a lot of people are thinking government's the answer. But it's going to be important, Mike's absolutely right, for Republicans or whoever it is, nonpartisans or even Democrats, to think about, you know, a different kind of message to make sure that it's, you know, we don't just become a government state.
Well, one of the things that I've tried to bring up on this program every time somebody has mentioned, you know, a hint of it, is that there is a lot more bipartisanship at the legislature than people would imagine considering our current political state. Do you see that?
I do, and I think there's bipartisanship across the country. Where it isn't is in the halls of Congress, and they have a disproportionate outsized disgusting voice right now, you know, on both sides. There's no conviviality there. What they did this morning to Liz Cheney is goofy, just fundamentally goofy. And if you want to have, to Mike's point, a conversation about big ideas, you have to have people that can think into the future, past their next speakership election or, you know, their next reelect or their next fundraising total, whatever. You have to have people that think beyond their own interests.
Well, I think part of that is, I would agree with you, we have some level of bipartisanship in the legislature. I think it has waned in recent years. The public option bill was a good example that was presented by campaign political operatives to folks ahead of time. There were already mailers showing up in people's mailboxes, polls that had been done back in February. That's sort of a different way to approach big public issues than we've historically had in Nevada. The expansion of the number of campaign staff and caucus campaign staff in that building whispering in ears, I think, has not been helpful at all for that part of the process. I think you still see it when it comes to natural resource issues and other things. For the business community, I think it's feeling pretty beleaguered this session, and there are just ideas that become political from the get-go. And again, the public option and that campaign on both sides, there's a national organization against the public option that was well-armed and ready to go as well.
And that's something I've been hearing a lot throughout this session, is the number of national operatives in the building, especially on the Democratic side, to be honest. Is that your sense too?
It is my sense that operators are doing that. I think, you know, another piece of that that's sometimes overlooked is term limits. And you have people in there for limited amounts of time. I think they're more susceptible to the campaign operative side of things. They're a little bit more stressed about a short period of time being in office and trying to get a lot done, as opposed to being in there and taking more of a long game approach to it. So I think those kind of things, and that's just the world we're living in. And I think we're going to be stay in that for a long time. These operatives, they make their money by making issues big and big fights. That's what they try to do. So having them is not necessarily helpful.
Okay, so let's go around the table just quickly. We've got about 10 seconds apiece here. Basically, the Biden administration has, 18 months to accomplish whatever they're going to accomplish?
Mm-hmm. 18 months and a split, 50-50 split Senate and a very, very close House. They have a heavy lift.
Mike?
They do. I think the president's had a good first 100 and some odd days. And it is doing well. It'll be a challenge when we head into this midterm election.
And you get the last word.
I think the Biden administration is going to have to try to do something middle of the road, work with Republicans with that split Senate the way it is. The last thing they want or the country needs is something being accused of being rammed down and being partisan. So I think it'll be very telling to see how they approach that.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all so much. I know how busy you all are, and I really appreciate you taking the time to do this.
You bet.
Thank you. And we'll be right back.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
The Do It Right guys at Nevada Heating have one mission. Your air conditioner breaks down today, we fix it today. Why sweat for days while your air is down when Nevada Heating can get the job done today and you can get cool again? For nearly 50 years, locally owned Nevada Heating has been getting the job done right. Call today at 323-5585 or see us online at nevadaheating.com.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
We'll see you on the next broadcast, coming to you from the Bank Saloon in Carson City. See you then.